It's the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us through 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. And, Woody, I was telling you that, you know, I like to think we always have a pretty diverse slate. I think we always have a lot to talk about, but that is certainly the case this time, is it not?
It is. Very, very much so.
Yeah. For those who are not aware, if you're not a Bama fan and you just stumbled across us, first of all, happy to have you. Second of all, Alabama now has their second loss of the season. They lost to Tennessee 24-17, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this, and this, I don't think this is foolish optimism. This is not a bad loss. It's not the fact that you lost at a ranked Tennessee by a touchdown. I think we need to get that straight first and foremost. That is not the problem.
Right.
The problem is how you lost and what the loss means for you at this point in the season. If you hadn't lost to Vandy, this loss would be just a bump on the chin. You'd keep pushing.
Right.
I feel. But with the last couple of weeks you had, this one's pretty lethal. And I figured we ought as well get this out of the way first, Woody, because you and I mentioned it before we went live today. Everyone's saying this is the first time they've had multiple losses since 2007. Multiple losses before November, I should say. This is the first time that's been a problem since Saban's first year, yada, yada, yada. And just like that, Saban's name is brought up. I compared it to grieving. You know, when your dad or your mom first dies, you're like, you know, if dad were here, he'd yada, yada, yada. Oh, I wish my mom was here. She'd yada, yada, yada. That's how Bama fans are acting about this Saban thing. I wish Saban was here. Well, Saban's gone.
Yep.
That's got to be the opening theme here. Stop bringing up Saban. Saban's not part of the equation.
Yep. He's not going to coach again at Alabama, as bad as a lot of Alabama fans hope he is. But, we got to start looking forward, moving forward, and supporting what we got.
Yeah.
To be frank,
I think people just bring it up as much as they do because they need something to blame. When we see something, we as people, when we see something that we don't understand, we try to make sense of it. And we look at this team and we know this is not some brand spanking new Bama team. Nothing but new faces. That's not what this is. This is a team that Saban spent a good amount of time building, good portion of it, mm-hmm. was there when Saban was. And now Kalen's in charge and the team is struggling a bit. And now everyone's calling for Kalen's head. But I will say that you have two losses on the road by 7 points or less to ranked conference opponents. You're number 15 in the country in a world where there's a 12-team bracket. Let's also say that Alabama's not out of this yet.
That's
it's
true.
Not like their season's collapsed.
That's true. But our backs are against the wall.
For sure. For sure. If you lose a third game, I already told you, Alabama may already be out of the hunt for the SEC title game. Just with how deep the SEC is looking right now, we got two teams right now that are entering this weekend unbeaten in SEC play. We'll touch on them later. But now you got two conference losses. Yeah, it's already looking like a pretty tight window to make the SEC title game, which means if you don't make it, you don't have a chance for an automatic bid. So now you're holding up your resume next to everybody else, and that means every win matters. And also, how Tennessee and Vandy do matter. If they both end up having five or more losses, well, that's going to make you look all the worse.
Yep.
So you need Tennessee and Vandy to ball out, and you need you yourselves need to ball out against teams like LSU and this upcoming team, Missouri.
That's so true. We do. And, you know, which means that we've got to be more disciplined. We got to do a lot of things we hadn't been doing
right.
to get us on the right road.
Well, and I'm glad that you mentioned discipline because that was, as I mentioned before, it's not the loss, it's how you lost. So let's get the positives out of the way first because I hate to say it, but there's not many. The defense balled out. I mean, just completely shut down Tennessee for a good portion of this game.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while for Tennessee to even get on the board. They shut the Vols out in the first half, and that was, I think, Tennessee turned the ball over three times. So the defense played great to start. The problem comes in when the offense does nothing with it.
Right. Like you said, Tennessee turned the ball over three times. We scored 0 points.
Mm. And you just can't have that.
That's unusual
right.
looking back. And then we had the opportunity on several other occasions to drive the ball down and get points the first half, and we didn't do it. We should have had probably 21 points or more the first half. If that had happened, I think Alabama would have won the ball game easy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Tennessee couldn't do what they did the second half. They were only down 7 points at halftime. They came back, and they did what they wanted to do, and that was run the football. Mm-hmm. And they ran the football for 200-something-odd yards, almost 300 yards, I believe it was. And, you know, they just controlled the game the way they wanted to do it the second half, and we did things that we shouldn't have done that lost the ball game.
Right. Dylan Sampson, that's a running back for Tennessee. We said his name last week. He was going to be a problem, as you said, in the second half especially. He was. So, as you said, Tennessee, we kind of had them pegged. We knew what they were going to try to do. We knew what they should have tried to do if they wanted to win this game. They did not do it in the first half, and that was Bama's chance to capitalize, and it just didn't happen. Speaking of, we talked about Tennessee's turnovers. That's where Bama's issues come in, their turnovers. Jalen Milroe, dude came into this season with so much potential. It was like, oh, he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. He's, you know, maybe Heisman dark horse, dare I say. And he's been a turnover machine. He threw 2 interceptions, including the one that sealed the game against Tennessee. He's thrown 6 in the last 4 games. That doesn't even include the pivotal fumble he had against Vandy.
Right. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know whether he's hurt or something, but something's not there. And so we'll have to see. He's definitely got to get better. He's got to turn it around.
Right.
Or I don't know whether DeBoer would look into the possible fact of maybe changing quarterbacks.
I don't think it would be unrealistic. We've talked about Jalen Milroe, how he's just got a nasty habit. It sounds funny to say, but it is true. He's got a nasty habit of throwing the ball to the other team. As for his rushing end, officially, sometimes I know QB rushing stats can be a bit skewed with sacks and such, but Jalen Milroe officially finished the day 14 carries for 11 yards. Well, this is a dual threat QB. So yeah. Dual threats are supposed to run and throw.
Yeah.
And right now he can't do either.
Yeah, he couldn't run in the last game, and he couldn't throw a pass. He overthrew numerous passes to wide open receivers.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, what's wrong?
Right. Well, and that's the thing. If these receivers are getting wide open, well, that's them doing their part. That's the Ryan Williams and the Jeremy Bernards of the world popping off. So, yeah, if you can't hit wide open guys, that's a problem that you see like bottom dweller teams have. It's careless mistakes in games that you can't afford to lose. Speaking of carelessness, the penalties. This was an elephant in the room. Alabama elephant, get it? Elephant in the room that we have to address. So I'll just paint the scene here. Tennessee had 11 penalties for 95 yards. Now, when you hear that, you're like, wow, those are burglars on the field. They're committing crimes on these players. And then you realize that Alabama had 15 penalties for 115 yards. I don't know if I've ever seen it with Alabama or anywhere where a team has over 10 penalties for almost 100 yards, and they are the more civilized and better composed team in a game. I don't know the last time that's happened.
It's been a long time since I've ever seen it, too. So I don't know. I know it's a result of discipline, you know, that caused a lot of that. Yeah. Alabama was not a poised football team in a lot of situations.
Right. It's been a common theme, and I hate to sound like a – like some old grandpa who's, you know, talking about back in my day. I'm not trying to go on that rant, but we've heard a lot about this whole culture concern when it comes to, okay, some of these players are celebrating when they shouldn't be, or celebrating more than they would under Saban, or we had Malachi Moore's outburst at the end of the Vanderbilt game, and now we've got these numbers here. It's just unbelievable. You had the ball longer. You beat them on time of possession by 6.5 minutes, but that means nothing if you can't score.
No.
And if you keep backing yourself up with these penalties every drive, you can't do that either. So just a very upsetting situation for Alabama, because it is. It's a matter of, all right, this is a game we had to win. It's a game that we should have won, and we didn't. I will say, just as far as how other players did, we already talked enough about Jalen Milroe. He's kind of doing us more harm than good here. Jam Miller and Justice Haynes, that's your backfield. These guys are going to matter this weekend. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But, man, as far as what they've done recently, they've struggled to bring much to the table. I've got some numbers here for you. First of all, Miller hasn't scored a touchdown in three of his last four games. So that's a bit concerning. The sole exception was when he scored two touchdowns on Vandy, which, of course, was a loss. So do with that what you will. As for Justice Haynes, as his carry count has increased over the past several games, his yards per carry has decreased. So it's and I get that that can often happen just in basic statistics, but it's happening quite consistently. It's like, okay, this guy's getting shut down.
Yeah.
And you can't have, we're going to talk about it more when we actually start breaking down Mizzou as a team, but you can't have a running back unit that is so limited against a team like Missouri.
No, no. You gotta be able to run the football, period. If you don't run the football and can't run the football, then you become one-dimensional, right. And that's not good.
Funny enough, one-dimensional is a term I've used to describe Missouri. Once again, we'll get details on that more. It sounds like I'm kind of laying into them here, but no offense to Missouri. We'll touch on you in a minute. A couple of players that did do good for Alabama that I do want to give a shout-out to, Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard. Mentioned them earlier. They led the receiving corps, combined for 145 yards and Milroe's sole passing touchdown. So their impact hasn't gone anywhere.
No.
I think if you get yourself into a position where you are in a passing game with Missouri, or really anybody else for that matter, this is a team that has proven, hey, we've got the talent to beat them over the top. We've got the talent to do that. It's just a matter of if you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But when you look back on the Tennessee game especially, they didn't really, I don't think they even tried to throw much to the tight ends. Alabama's got a couple of good tight ends that just were not targeted.
Yeah. And in more physical games, you need to try to get those shorter passes, march down the field. If you've got a lead and it's a narrow one, try to chew some clock. You don't have to always make the big play. You don't have to always go to the 17-year-old for a 56-yard touchdown catch and run. You don't have to do that. You can play it slow. You can use your physicality to your advantage. And it is. It's just, as I said, it keeps going back to the execution. We know this is a good team. The team's proven it. As I said, we've got so many impact players from last year. This is a team that has been certified contender at best, and they are flailing like this over these past few weeks. I will touch on this because we've got a couple stories that we can dig into when it comes to just the state of Alabama right now. Let me ask you this. Looking beyond Alabama, just looking at the SEC as a whole, we've talked about how competitive it is. We've talked about the parity. Georgia just beat Texas on the road by 2 scores. Do you think that says more about Georgia? Do you think it says more about Texas? Who do you think's the top, like, the front runner in the SEC right now, so to speak?
I think it's Georgia.
I think so, too. I think Bama just owns them.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we've talked about this early in the year. I mean, when you look at Alabama's roster and Georgia's roster, they're close to being the same amount of having the same amount of talent.
Right.
I think one had 69-4 and 5 stars, and the other one had like 2 more. I can't remember the exact numbers, what they are. But, you know, I think from an Alabama-Georgia comparison, they're about the same. Texas has a lot of good talent too, but they're not in the – they don't have as much as Alabama and Georgia does.
Well, and that's the thing. They're supposed to be the new kids on the block. You know, it's going to be a jarring adjustment for sure. I do think Texas, as you said, they've got good talent. They're a darn good team. I think this win says a lot more about Georgia than the loss does about Texas. Anyone who wants to bring up, oh, well, they lost to Alabama. It's like, dude, Alabama's a well-built team. It was on the road. They won by a touchdown, and that's a legacy game. We always hear about how mental of a game football can be. Well, Georgia's sitting there, and their knees are wobbling because they're thinking, this is a legacy game. This makes or breaks us. And, yeah, you find yourself in a big hole, and you try to dig out of it, and it doesn't work out. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent about a team that ain't even Alabama. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show, 1017 here. When we return, we'll touch on what it's going to take for Alabama to beat Mizzou, because Woody said one-dimensional. I think that has perfectly summed up Missouri this season, especially when you see them in some of their less flattering games. We got details on that and more coming up right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner. Green and tea. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
If it's hot, it's here. The best new stuff is at GNC. GNC brings you some of the best new products first from brands like Optimum Nutrition, Ghost, Bloom, and more. GNC has the newest breakthroughs in muscle building, weight loss, and wellness, and the best energy drink flavors. If you heard about it at the gym, you can bet that conversation started at GNC. Ask a coach about the newest drops at your GNC store or shop our full collection online at GNC.com today. If it's hot, it's here. GNC.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me this week for an NFC matchup between Dallas and San Francisco. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and the 49ers fell to 3-4 last week. Now they host Dak Prescott and a 3-3 Cowboys team, also off to a rough start. But they are coming off their bye week. Should be a fun one. Don't miss any of the action on Sunday Night Football.
The Cowboys take on the 49ers at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Your favorite sports with a local flair.
We've seen it time and time again with other coaches. Other coaches that have been loyal to guys that they bring in and they hire because, honestly, sometimes it's an ego issue. You can't have your ego be an issue for you if you're Kalen DeBoer.
On the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass.
Eagle fans are upset about somebody taunting them. Like, bro, y'all throw snowballs at Santa Claus. Don't get me that.
Tune in weekday mornings from 9 till 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
BJ Washington High School clashes with Destin High School. It's the ESPN Pensacola High School football game of the week today at 7 p.m.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, I'm going to get your thoughts on this just straight out of the gate. No hesitation. Just sucker punch you right here. We went to break talking about, okay, state of the SEC, but of course the main topic, the state of Alabama after this loss to Tennessee and the look ahead to Missouri. What do you think it's going to take, or what do you think Alabama has to capitalize on for the Tide to win this game this weekend?
Well, several things. One, they got to play as a unit. They got to play as a team, which they have not been doing.
Right.
The other thing is they got to run the football.
Yeah.
If they run the football, that's going to open up the passing game, and Milroe's going to have an opportunity to hit a lot more receivers, and he needs to throw to more receivers than he has thrown to lately in throwing to Williams. He needs to throw to Bernard or at the tight ends or some other wideouts.
Right.
There's a large number of receivers that could very easily catch football.
Yeah, you're Alabama, dude. Yeah. You got depth, okay? Like, let's not sit here and act like our offense lives and dies by the 17-year-old kid. Like, he's great, great athlete, and you can look to him a lot. You can. But, yeah, you need more of a balance. Actually utilize the depth and the physicality that Alabama always touts. You know, don't be just looking for the big play every time. That's what you had said during the break. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to come out and say it. Alabama shouldn't look at them this way because they got to play them this weekend. But I, being the sheltered radio boy that I am, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you straight up, I don't think Missouri's that good of a team. I don't think they are. The toughest team they've played this year ran them off the field. Mm-hmm. Missouri got decimated by Texas A&M. You look at how they've done against teams like Auburn, who's been struggling this year, Boston College, who's not that great. They squeaked past these opponents. They were down 17-3 to Auburn at one point last weekend. And then you got Vandy. Vandy's good. They're not great. So when you're at home and you win in double OT or whatever it was, sorry, that's not going to wow me. Right. You know? So I look at this team. It's certainly winnable. If Tennessee's winnable, Mizzou absolutely is in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. And I think Alabama's going to win this football game. How they're going to win it, by how many points, and how they're going to look winning it, I don't know. I hope they look well, but for that to happen, they got to play different than they've been playing.
Right. And I criticize Missouri because I think they're, as I mentioned in the previous segment, one-dimensional. By the way, if you've been taking a shot every time one of us says one-dimensional, you're probably in an ER right now. But Mizzou, that's just the situation that they're in. They're very run-heavy. They rely heavily on their running game. They have a good passing game. But when you watch, you can just look at the stats. The stats don't lie. When you look at Missouri's season, you look at, okay, well, this was a game where they had to focus more on their passing end, or their rushing game wasn't as much of a standout. Oh, well, all of a sudden you're only winning by 6 points instead of the blowouts that you had against the weaker teams. And then when you have an extreme like Texas A&M, Texas A&M's running up and down the field. You're not doing anything. All of a sudden you're losing by 31.
Right.
You know, so I think the recipe is going to be exactly what you've argued for Bama to do here. Run the ball and play physical. You have to show, hey, we're a better-built team than Missouri, because you absolutely are.
Right. They definitely have to do that. And, they can take some deep shots if it's a given situation to them. But if they run the football and play physical, 9 times out of 10, Alabama's going to win the football game.
Absolutely, because when it comes to Mizzou's passing game, they've got some good experience there. Some of the three biggest names I found: quarterback Brady Cook, and wide receivers Theo Weiss Jr. and Luther Burden III.
Right,
especially Luther Burden, man, he was a stud last year. Mm-hmm. This is a very talented team, very experienced offense. But while they're decent, if you put this team against a passing game that's got the Williams, that's got Bernard, that's got the tight ends, that's got the depth that Alabama does, with a Jalen Milroe that knows to throw to the guys in crimson, then this is a pretty darn good – I mean, the passing game is going to do very well enough to beat Mizzou.
Yeah, it should. And then throw in the fact that Missouri's quarterback's banged up.
He's
got a bad leg or bad foot. And their starting running back's not even going to play. That's already been noted in the SEC requirement where they have to play the – list the players that are going to be out. It's a good time, I guess, if timing means anything for Alabama, to try to get well to some degree.
Yeah, Mizzou, that's one of the main things you were telling me, Woody. They're kind of banged up. Brady Cook, got to give him a lot of props. He went to the hospital during the last game, and he came back in and he had a comeback win over Auburn. I'm sure a lot of Bama fans were clicking their heels over that one. But Brady Cook, darn good QB. And with the rushing game being weakened, it makes all the more incentive. Contain their rushing game. They ride so heavily on it. And we've seen the difference it can make. If you contain that rushing game, and as I said, Milroe, ball control. You got to have ball control. Just a decent passing game should win them. Should get you the win here.
Should. Yep.
And, of course, no penalties either, or at least keep them to an absolute minimum. Because, you know, Mizzou, I can sit here and question their rushing game all day. I can sit here and question their passing game all day. But if you're giving them 80 of the 100 yards they need to get down the field, that's not going to work. So
it keeps drives going.
Yeah, so yep. keep your discipline. I mean, I feel like we're talking about some total culture change here at Alabama. Oh, well, if the players, you know, learn to play better and they learn to behave better, well, maybe they'll be a good team. I don't mean for it to come off that way, but I can't stress enough how winnable this is, and it's a big one. You've got to prove, hey, we can still compete with ranked teams in our conference, even if they're ranked on the lower end.
Right. And certainly do.
And then, I mean, it ain't going to get any easier after this. I think you guys have a bye week?
After this game, there's a bye, and then we go to Tiger Stadium, LSU.
Yes. That's obviously there are tough games between now and in the rest of the regular season. You got to go to Norman right before the Iron Bowl. That's a tough pair of weeks, even if both of those teams are down right now. But LSU is the biggin on the road. Very well-placed bye week, by the way. Got to give Alabama some credit there because they did. They saw an 11-win Mizzou as of last season and a pretty darn good LSU that was on the road, and they put a bye week between those two. So they got to be thankful for that. But in that time, you've got to regroup. You've got to get well, as you said during the Missouri game. You got to get well. You got to play disciplined. You got to lock in. And if you can beat Missouri and LSU, and you can be 7-2 with wins over Georgia and the Tigers, and now at that point, hopefully Tennessee and Vandy are still doing good enough to where they look like quality losses, you'll be golden.
Yeah. Yeah. We have no more chance for error, so to speak.
Right.
We have to play them one game at a time, and we have to come out on top.
And if Mizzou does win this game, I don't think I'm hitting the panic button by saying your playoff window is shut. You cannot be 5-3.
Yeah. No.
With losses to some of the tougher teams you've played.
No. If we lose to Missouri, we can forget the playoffs.
You probably already are with how deep the SEC is looking, but if you lose a third conference game, you are for sure out of the SEC title game hunt. So forget any automatic bids you had in mind. You're going to have to hold up a 3-loss resume up next to, I don't know, I guess Indiana. They're pretty darn good this year, whatever that's about.
They're undefeated, I believe.
Indiana, yeah, they're unbeaten. They beat a 1-loss Nebraska 56-7. And I don't even know if the wheel had been invented the last time this was the case, but Indiana's ranked higher than Bama in the polls now. So you've got to worry about those teams, right? Mm-hmm. We always think about, okay, holding Alabama up next to the Georgias and Texases and Ohio States and Oregons of the world. That's very true. But now BYU and Iowa State are looking like contenders. I don't know what portal we went into, what twilight zone we went down to where this is a thing. But you got them. You've got the group of five representatives that's going to be tossed in automatically, you know, because five highest-ranked conference champs or whatever. But then, heck, there's someone like Illinois. Illinois is in the top 20, and they play Oregon this week. If they beat Oregon and their only loss is to Penn State, well, then they're going to be all
they're
the way
gonna
up
They're
going
to be there. Elevated.
Yep. Right. So very, it's just a very deep pool here that's making Alabama's room for error all the slimmer.
Yep, and I hope they really believe that and understand that.
Yeah, you have to know what's at stake here. I will say the bettors must be taking this game pretty lightly. The spread is currently Alabama favored by 18. You and I, Woody, agree that it's probably just because it's in Alabama. We've seen the weakness of Missouri's resume, and they do. They've got those weakened, you know, spots. Their running back game is injured. Their QB had his injury last week, and he came back from it, and that's all well and good, but it's nonetheless some wear and tear. So Alabama favored by 18. Of course, we always give our score predictions at the end of the show every week, but I got to tell you, I'm looking at Bama. I originally took them to win this game. I'll say this because it's an outdated prediction. I originally took Bama to win this game around 34-13. I'm not so confident. I think Mizzou could give you a scare. I've heard increased talks that, oh, Mizzou's going to beat them for this reason or that reason, or they're going to scare them for this reason or that reason. And it is. It's just telling that that we can look at a team like Missouri going to Bama and say, we've got some people making an argument that the Tigers are going to win.
Hmm.
That's wild to me because I do think Alabama on paper blows them out of the water. But I told you during break, if talent is all that mattered, we wouldn't be looking at 5-2 right now.
Well, if Missouri does win, it's not going to – it'll be some to having to do with Missouri, obviously, but it's going to be what Alabama didn't do, what you know, how they played and how they should have played. Because
without a doubt, it's going to be –
they certainly wouldn't have played good if that happens.
Yeah, if I will say – you know what? Thank you for saying that, because if I'll put it this way. If Missouri wins this game, we're going to be looking at two things for Alabama. We're going to be looking at turnovers, and we're going to be looking at penalties. I assure you there will be several of both if Alabama loses this game. And if that's the case, if that is what ends up happening, that's going to be a darn shame. I'm sure our soapboxes will be placed extra high for us to really ramble next week. But, hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. All righty, we'll take a quick break just a little bit past 10:30 here. When we return, it's actually a pretty loaded slate in the SEC all around. And if we've got time for it, we'll revisit the Texas situation, throwing garbage on the field, and the referees overturning a pretty questionable call and what that means for college football. Because if it means half as much as Kirby Smart pretended it did, the sport will crumble. We got details on that and more coming up right here on Roll Tide Radio on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, or on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust and Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
It's football season, and Vivid Seats is your ultimate destination for all the action on the gridiron. With a game-changing rewards program, plus an amazing selection of tickets, Vivid Seats ensures that every fan can catch their favorite teams and players in action. Vivid Seats has you covered with deals that cater to every football enthusiast, and all tickets come back by a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you peace of mind with every purchase. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Elevate your game at Scenic Hills Country Club. Where casual southern charm and recreation blend to provide a first-class experience. Discover our championship golf course, restaurant, and bar, all open to the public. Join us at Scenic Hills on Wednesdays for karaoke, trivia on Thursdays, and live music on Fridays. Visit ScenicHills.com to learn more and book your next round. Scenic Hills Country Club, where every moment makes a memory.
Are you ready to unleash the beast?
Monster Energy is here to give you the edge this college tailgate season. Loaded with bold flavors, our powerful blend gives you the energy you need to push you beyond your limits. Tune in all season long with Monster, the energy drink of ESPN Radio College Football Tour. Power your performance with a drink that's as hungry for victory as you are. Crack open an ice-cold Monster and dominate your competition. Monster Energy. Unleash the beast. Grab yours today.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you, as always. And where we left off, we talked about Alabama and what it's going to take to beat this Missouri team. And if you weren't there with us, well, to summarize, Alabama's got to contain what's already a weakened Missouri rushing game. And you got to play discipline. No turnovers and no penalties. You can't have a ton of those. All righty, looking around the rest of the SEC, it's actually a pretty interesting slate here, dare I say. Though it does start off on a rather unflattering note, Oklahoma goes to number 18, Ole Miss. Ole Miss is 5-2. Oklahoma is 4-3. We just saw them get, for the lack of a better word, slaughtered by South Carolina on their own home field. Ole Miss favored by 20 in Oxford. Woody, what do you think?
Ole Miss. Ole Miss could.
Just Ole Miss.
Ole Miss could very easily win more than 20 if they play well.
I think Ole Miss wins this game by a couple scores. I don't think they win by 20. I think that's kind of selling them a bit high. Oklahoma's got a pretty physical defense, so these past couple weeks they haven't shown it. I think Ole Miss wins by double digits, but not as much as 20. Arkansas at Mississippi State. Now, there are a couple of teams in the SEC that look tougher than their record implies, and I think Mississippi State's one of them. They're 1-6, but they had Texas off to a slow start. Georgia couldn't quite escape them. So Mississippi State – Texas A&M didn't look so hot against them either. So Mississippi State's kind of a tough team, especially in Starkville, and Arkansas was pretty disappointing against LSU.
What's the line on that?
Arkansas is favored by 7. Do you think they cover, or do you think Mississippi State gives them a bit more of a scare or wins outright?
I think Mississippi State can win that game outright. And if they don't, I don't think Arkansas covers.
So you got to be a nail biter.
Yeah.
Wow. I've got Arkansas close. I'll say I'm all for some chaos. I'll say Arkansas wins by 7. I'll say, we really got the better sweating there. All righty. Number 5 Texas travels to a ranked Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's number 25. They struggled with Ball State, only won 24-14, but they could have been looking ahead to this game. Texas got probably kind of demoralized after losing at home by double digits to Georgia, first loss of the season. Texas is expected to get right back on the winning trail, though, beating Vandy by 18.5 points. Do you think Texas covers that spread, or do you think Vandy gives them a bit more of a
fight? Depends, and it really depends on how Texas comes in and plays. Their quarterback, Ewers, is for 2 weeks now, he hadn't played well. And if he continues not to play well with the style of play that we know Vandy's going to play, they're going to be slow and they're going to be deliberate. They're going to run that option offense.
Yeah.
And they could keep it close.
Right.
I think Texas, my gut says Texas wins the game. I don't know if they win by 18, though.
I've got them winning by exactly 18. The score I've been kind of just having swirl around in my head these past couple of days is 38-20. Mm-hmm. So I've got Texas winning by 18. I like to keep the bettors on the edge of their seats there. But Texas on the road in Nashville, everyone always talked about, Vandy's easy pickings. Well, they're clearly not this year, especially at home. So I think Texas wins. I think they win convincingly, but I don't think it's as much a knock on Vandy. I think it's just Texas, being the better-built team and bouncing back after a humbling loss. Then, speaking of good teams, number 8 LSU goes to number 14 Texas A&M. Both of these teams unbeaten in SEC play. Texas A&M playing at what's supposed to be a very jarring Kyle Field, favored by 1 point. What do you think, man?
Who's favored?
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M's favorite?
By a single point.
I thought LSU was favored. I don't know. A lot of people are picking LSU. But I think Texas has got a pretty good football team. And I'm not sold on LSU right now.
I'm not either. I've kept doubting them, and it's come back to bite me. I had Ole Miss beating LSU. They didn't. I had LSU struggling with Arkansas. They didn't. So now they go to Texas A&M. I'm still taking the Aggies by about six.
I think I'm going with the Aggies also.
Yeah.
Since it's at Texas A&M.
Exactly. If this were at Death Valley, that would be a bit of a different story. But both of these teams, you know, it's like, oh, well, I don't really buy LSU or I don't really buy Texas A&M. It's like, it's one thing to not buy them, but you got to understand they both looked good. And that's what makes this such a tough call. I don't think LSU is like some sleeping giant that, you know, is untouchable. I don't think that. If they were a USC team that's now, what, got three or four losses, wouldn't have beaten you in the season
opener. Right.
So I'll take Texas A&M at home. And, of course, it ain't too much to cover a one-point spread. I got them winning by about six. And then we got Auburn-Kentucky. Auburn's another one of those teams, and Kentucky as well, dare I say, that don't let the record fool you. Auburn's 2-5. They go to 3-4. Kentucky, Auburn, very physical defense. Kentucky, Mark Stoops, he coaches these guys to be in every game. Both of these offenses struggle. Kentucky hasn't, I think, exceeded 20 points on a Power 4 opponent all year. They are favored by 1.5 in Kroger Field in Lexington. What do you got?
Kentucky.
Yeah, really. I've got Auburn in an upset. I know, but the Bama fan skin started boiling there. I got Auburn on the road. I got them winning 17-14. The over-under on this is 43.5. If you've done an ounce of research on Auburn and Kentucky, I would bet my the deed to my house. This is not an over-under of 43.5. There's no shot that this game combines for over 40 points. I just don't see that happening, but I do have Auburn winning. Tight game by a field goal, 17-14.
What time is that game played?
That's the latest game in the SEC this weekend, 6:45.
Okay. It's a night game at Kentucky. It's going to be a tough game.
That's going to be a tough one, yeah. We always hear a lot of hype about those chrome lids, too. If they're wearing the chrome lids, Auburn may be in some more trouble than they think. All right, we've got some time to work with here because the rest of the SEC is on a bye. We'll talk about this garbage throwing thing, and it sounds stupid to talk about because it's not the first time fans have thrown stuff on the field. It ain't going to be the last time to do it either. It didn't impact the game, but we had, you know, Kirby Smart, you know, sitting there in a he almost had, like, his black cloak, you know, the democracy has fallen. You know, he kind of gave one of those speeches when it comes to this whole thing about the – Let me paint the scene here. There was a bad call on a Texas defender. The Texas defender got a pick, took it back to Georgia's 9-yard line, and it was overturned because of PI. Then that's what got Texas people. They started throwing stuff on the field. Well, that caused a delay of game. So while they're cleaning the end zones and Sark is telling people stop throwing stuff, they're showing the replay of this non-reviewable PI call on the Jumbotron, and the officials are kind of deliberating. Next thing you know, they say, hey, after further deliberation, there is no pass interference. So first and goal, Texas. Now, where Kirby Smart and the rest of the college football world took this was, okay, they threw stuff on the field. That caused a delay of game, and that caused the refs to either be scared into changing the call or they saw the replay on the Jumbotron and unethically changed the call. Either way, the consensus has become that Texas got their way by throwing stuff on the field, and that sets a dastardly precedent.
And it's easy to come to that conclusion. And you know, based on, you know, the TV shot showed that group of officials huddling or standing wherever they were standing on the field,
yeah,
having this conference among themselves. And that did give them ample amount of time to talk about it.
Right.
And they came to the conclusion they came to, which first and foremost, I think if you make the call, stand by the call. Don't change it, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent.
I agree. I think at worst, this just kind of says that those officials were, as I said, unethical.
Yeah.
You know, if you changed the call that you knew you shouldn't have changed,
mm-hmm,
that's just on y'all as officials.
Yeah.
I never endorsed littering, so don't throw stuff on the field. But to act like, you know, this This is some devilish deed. It's drunk college kids. They're and you're screwing their team over. They're going to throw stuff on the field. As I said, it's not the first time. It's not the last time.
And to be frank with you, after watching the replay,
yeah,
I think it should have been a no call. Because I think I think it was pushing and shoving both ways.
Oh, yes. It was mutual contact, and the pass was thrown behind the receiver right to the Texas defender. No, there was absolutely no PI on it. It was the right call. What people are upset about is how you came to that conclusion. And, Kirby, if you're tied up in knots about it, just consider it even. You shoved a QB and you didn't get flagged, all right? So, there, Texas gets away with this one. How's that sound?
He got a slap on the wrist from that.
Exactly. So, it's just a matter of when you consider that it didn't change the outcome of the game, it was caused by something that we've seen in sports before, and at the worst, it's crappy officiating, which we see in every game every week. I don't let it hang on me too much. As I said, I still think Georgia's the best team in the SEC today after that win. I think they're the best team in America. I think if you put them on a neutral site with Oregon, they win. So do with that what you will, Georgia. We'll take one last quick break here. When we return, there's several games that are swirling around just the country that are either high-ranking teams or maybe upset alerts or rivalry games, so on and so forth. And then we always end our weekly broadcasts with giving our score predictions on Alabama and whatever unfortunate opponent they have to encounter every week. You're listening to Roll Tide Radio every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and of course brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Flu season is approaching, and Jackson Pace Pharmacy is your one-stop shop for acute conditions. With their test and treat program, they are providing same-day diagnostic testing and prescription treatment for strep throat, flu, and COVID-19. No insurance can be used to bill testing procedures, and maximum out-of-pocket costs will be $40. Visit them today at the corner of 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road. No appointment necessary. Walk-ins are welcome from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or visit them online at jackson-pacepharmacy.com.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Jimmy, the Mercedes is making a strange noise.
Mr. Fix-It!
Did you just tell me to fix it?
No, I said take it to Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic. They specialize in all the luxury imports and domestic cars. They've got the latest technologies and the equipment to fix our car. And they have the lowest prices in town.
They're on North Palafox, right?
4701 North Palafox in Pensacola, just north of the Pace Palafox split.
With fully certified technicians and a nationwide warranty on parts and labor, it's Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic, where one call does it all. 850-741-4274.
Lowe's knows that to win the job, pros need the best prices. That's why only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500 at the Pro Desk. That means you get the prices you need to start any job, small or large. Because Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms or Pro Desk for details.
Bamboo Willie's on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk is the place to go this fall to watch your favorite teams. With 15 TVs featuring the NFL Ticket, SEC, Big Ten, ESPN Plus, Prime, and NBC Peacock for your viewing. Buckets of beer specials and football with a view of Pensacola Beach. And you won't want to miss their big Halloween bash tomorrow night and your share of $1,000 in prizes. Bamboo Willie's on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk.
The Big Bamboo!
Your favorite sports with a local flair.
We've seen it time and time again with other coaches. Other coaches that have been loyal to guys that they bring in and they hire because, honestly, sometimes it's an ego issue. You can't have your ego be an issue for you if you're Kalen DeBoer.
On the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass.
Eagle fans are upset about somebody taunting them. Like, bro, y'all throw snowballs at Santa Claus. Don't get me that.
Tune in weekday mornings from 9 till 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Tomorrow in college play, UWF takes on Shorter University at 3:45 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. And when we left off, we were talking about some of the games going on around the SEC. Of course, a very loaded slate. But we've also got a loaded slate nationally. And you know what? Since we've got a couple minutes to work with here sooner than we usually do, I'll ask you this one, Woody, because it's tonight's game between number 17 Boise State. They travel to UNLV. UNLV 6-1. So Boise State and UNLV, who do you got? You think the Rebels get an upset here?
Possible. It's very possible. They travel to UNLV travels to Boise?
No, it's in Las Vegas.
It's in Vegas.
Okay. Yes.
So that's in the new stadium.
Yes, and Boise State is favored by only 3.5. This is going to be one of the tougher teams that Boise State's faced this season. You're like, I don't know, man.
I'm going to pick an upset. I'm going to pick UNLV.
I think this is definitely an upset alert. I think Boise State hangs on because they are battle-tested. I mean, they played Oregon on the road and only lost by a tie-breaking field goal. That's their only loss. They beat, like, a darn good Washington State team by 21. So I think they're going to beat UNLV, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a bit tight. All righty, some other ones here. Number 12, Notre Dame travels to East Rutherford, New Jersey for a neutral site game against number 24, Navy. Notre Dame favored by 13.5. Navy, people are going to sit here and say, oh, they haven't played anybody. They have rolled over their competition. They've decimated everybody. So we can't really judge them by a weak schedule if you're playing as good as you can with it. So do you think Navy scares Notre Dame here? This is historically a pretty lopsided rivalry.
Well, if you look back on history, Navy has always played Notre Dame tough.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You think they do so this year? Enough for a win, at least?
It's a possibility, but Notre Dame's in a position, if they want to have any chance to get in the playoff, they can't afford to slip up.
So, oh, no, I agree with you.
You know, so I'm going to say Notre Dame wins the game, but it's not going to surprise me if Navy pulls the upset.
Yeah, there's a very real chance Notre Dame misses out on the playoffs if they lose to Navy. Because it's not just Notre Dame not having a conference title game. It's not just Notre Dame having a loss. It's the fact that you lost at home to Northern Illinois, who's, what, 4-3 right now? Mm-hmm. You just can't have that. So, yeah, Navy or Army. They play Army later. One of those schools, or anyone else for that matter, beating Notre Dame would be a gut punch to their playoff hunt. They got to be able to make an example here. I think Notre Dame wins by 10, so they don't cover the spread, but I got them like, 31-21. Alrighty, number 20, Illinois. This is one of those teams we mentioned earlier, Woody. They're just kind of floating around. Their number 20 only loss is to Penn State, who's number 3 in the nation today. They have to go to Autzen Stadium, take on top-ranked Oregon. Oregon's favored by 22. Do you think Illinois gives them a scare, or do you think Oregon just rolls over?
No, I think Illinois is going to play a good game, and that's Bielema, who coaches them, and he's going to have them ready to play. You know, the fact that they got to go to Oregon, though, I'm going to say Oregon wins the game. I don't know that they win it by their – by the points, though.
Yeah, 22 is a bit extreme.
Cover.
I don't know if Oregon covers that unless, once again, this is a game where they're like, we're circling this one on the calendar trying to make a point. We've got to prove, hey, listen, we are for real, yada, yada, yada. Let's, you know, Illinois, they're floating around. Let's kick them out of this hunt already. I could see that being the chip on Oregon's shoulder. But when you think about it, Oregon's already kind of proven themselves against Ohio State. So who knows? Maybe Illinois is the one with something to prove. I'll believe in Illinois, and I'll ride with you. I'll give Oregon the win, but they don't win by that much. I think Illinois proves, hey, we actually are competitive. We're not just some fluke team. All right, speaking of fluke teams, Miami, number six in the country. Offense is great. Defense is unwatchable. They host Florida State. Florida State is just unwatchable, period. Miami favored by 21. Do you think Miami struggles here because of a rivalry game, or they just keep on pushing?
Well, you just said the key word, rivalry game.
Yep.
It could be a blowout, and it could be a nail-biter since it's a rivalry.
Yeah.
I think Miami is going to win the football game. I just can't put my finger whether they're going to blow them out and cover the points, or it's going to be a lot closer ball game. I'm going to pick Miami.
I brought up the rivalry thing just to be cute. Miami's going to roll over Florida State. Yeah. It's not even going to be close. I got it being 44-10. That's the score I've been promoting all year. Then we got just a couple quick hitters here. Penn State, number three, on the road, taking on 5-2 Wisconsin. Penn State on the road, only favored by 6.5. You think Penn State wins?
Wisconsin's playing a lot better football right now.
Yeah. Penn State, their biggest win is, I think, at home against Illinois.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to pick Wisconsin.
All right. I think Penn State wins, but I think they do. I think they win. I think they win close, just like the spread implies. And then we've got Kansas at K-State. Kansas down off to a rough start, 2-5. They're on the road, though, another rivalry game. Kansas State is number 16 in the country. They're 6-1 on the year, and they're favored by 9.5. Do you think the Jayhawks have a chance of a scare here?
No. I think Kansas State wins.
All righty. Yeah, I have Kansas State winning. Wouldn't be surprised if they won by over 10, but I just know Lance Leopold's one heck of a coach, and with those rivalry implications and K-State having some inconsistency, can't really rule out the Jayhawks entirely, in my opinion. All righty. Now we've got, of course, game of the hour, Alabama and Mizzou. Who do you have winning, and by how much, my friend?
I got Bama winning 45-27.
Wow, really? I've got Bama winning, just an approximation here, 31-17. I've got it being a bit more competitive, and I got it being lower scoring. But if you're right, we'll have a lot of good to talk about next week. This has been Roll Tide Radio every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola.